The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Quite a program here on this Monday, and I haven't seen that name in a long time show up. We've heard some reports about him battling illness. Mitch is up next. How are you, Mitch?
Doing a lot better. How are you?
We're doing great. Well, so what's going on with you? What has been going on with you?
I had double pneumonia and COVID. Hmm. And I had to have two thoracentesis done on both lungs. You know, that's where they pull pylorus fluids right off. And they ended up having to put a chest tube in one of my lungs.
Oh, my goodness.
And, but I'm blessed. I'm lucky. I'm up and about. And, you know, God is good. I'm just thankful that I came through it. I had your show streaming every day.
Well,
even though you weren't always there.
Okay.
But I got to listen to your show, and as I've told you in your past, your show gets me through today, and this time I got to actually prove it. But how's things been going for you and Miss Linda?
Well, Mitch, we are doing great. I appreciate you asking. So tell me this, Mitch. What does it look like? I mean, obviously you're sounding better, but when are you going to be up to snuff, so to speak?
Well, I've been home for a week and a half.
Okay.
And today they x-rayed my lungs, and I've still got a very small pocket of pneumonia in one lung.
Right.
And the doctor said with movement and just getting back into life, that will eventually come out. And I can move around for 5 seconds and not completely get out of breath. You know, that was one of the scariest parts, is going from one room to another, you completely lose your ability to breathe.
Right.
And
yeah,
you know,
I have only seen it firsthand with relatives and family members, but You can have a lot of things wrong with you, but when you are unable to breathe, it is...
It's scary.
Yeah, I've seen it with, unfortunately, too up close. It's horrifying.
Well, you know, I work in the medical field, and now I have a true appreciation when a person has a panic attack and says, I can't breathe. Well, of course, you're looking at them saying, you're breathing. Well, in their mind, they're not.
Right.
And so I have appreciation for that a lot better now. But just thank you and thank the Feinbaum family. And I'm not going to get mushy-wushy, but I love all y'all, and just keep praying for me.
We will, Mitch. I'm glad you got in, and when you feel a little stronger, give us a call back. Thank you so much. Hunter is up next. Good afternoon, Hunter.
Yes. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I was calling in about the Week 3 matchup with Miami at Texas A&M. Was going to get your thoughts on it, see if this may possibly be a game day matchup.
Yeah, I'd have to.
In your opinion.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the schedule. That's week three.
College Station.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I would say I'd have to look and see what else is going on that day, but I certainly think it's you got a couple of games I know of. You have the Auburn-Penn State game. You've got Miami-Texas A&M, and I'll take a look in a second at what else is going on that day.
Yes, sir. I think it'll be a huge matchup. Obviously, it'll be Jimbo's first matchup against Miami since he was at FSU, so it's kind of rivalry implications from that matchup in the past. And I'm a Miami fan, been a Miami fan most all my life, and interested to see how the
you also
new
have,
era
you have, you have Georgia. Yeah, I'm just going over the games. You have Georgia, South Carolina. Yeah. That's another game. You have Oklahoma, Nebraska. I can't believe that game is going to rank too highly. And other than that, there are not a lot of other really big games that weekend. So Mississippi State, LSU, I don't think would be that's a night game. Texas Tech and NC State, yeah, here's a game you might have to worry about. Michigan State at Washington.
Okay.
Yeah, so those are the best games of the day. I would certainly think Miami and A&M would be among the top two or three games that day. I have no idea what game day is thinking, though. And one thing you have to consider is it's just a logistics standpoint, whether their crew would be in Washington or not, and if they are, does that influence the decision? Hey, thank you for the call. It's always a good, fun part of the season, trying to figure out where everyone will be. Zach is up next. Good afternoon, Zach.
Hey, Paul. I just want to talk about the Volunteers a little bit. You know, they have three kind of tough games before they play Alabama. I want to know what you think their chances are of being 6-0 going into that game. When really it'd probably be a top 15, and Alabama will probably be number one, I would think. But you know, I think the Vols have a chance to be 6-0 and go into a game against Alabama at home and have a chance to win.
Yeah, I mean, the tough games are obvious: Pittsburgh, Florida at LSU. But I don't think it's a stretch to think Tennessee could be undefeated at all.
Yeah, and I just think the difference this year is their high-powered offense. I mean,
yeah.
Josh Heupel is trying to get the points on the board. And, you know, at the end of the day, points win games. And, you know, last year, you know, problems with their defense, but they brought a lot of guys back, and they have more scholarships to give out this year. So, hopefully it's a
I think it's reasonable. I mean, sometimes you would say undefeated. I mean, by the way, I can't remember the last time we even had this conversation. So I'm going to think about it. I think they'll beat Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh lost its two best players. They should have won the game last year. I think the LSU game is a little bit hard to predict, but I think it's reasonable to think Tennessee could or will. I know those are cautious words, but the fact that we're having this conversation is quite a testament to Josh Heupel. Let's check out Jeff, who is up next in Tennessee. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Paul?
Hey there.
I was wanting to call in about AC, the hypothesis and theory with you.
Please.
Last week. With Tennessee in the SEC since 1998, you got to give hats off to Kentucky, South Carolina, and these other teams that have actually picked the game up and run with the ball. They're not, you know, bottom feeders. They're actually legitimate teams now. You can't run over the schedule and think, you know, South Carolina's just a wash. But I'm a Tennessee fan, but second, I'm a SEC fan. And it's tough. You there, Paul?
Yeah, I'm listening to everything you're saying, Jeff.
But the South Carolina and Kentucky, they both, they've done well in the last few years. Texas A&M got all the money, and they still stand in subpar to what, I thought they would when they come in. Is that going to work out for Oklahoma and Texas if they can join the SEC?
Well, I tell you what, Jeff, I think a lot of it depends on when they're joining. I think Oklahoma is in good position. Texas is recruiting to a level today that they haven't for some time. Hey, thanks for the call. We are going to take a break. Nick Kelly will join us in a minute from the Tuscaloosa News. We'll get his take on all things Alabama right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are happy to welcome back to our show Nick Kelly from the Tuscaloosa News, who has done a really interesting article on really the keen scheduling behind Greg Byrne's recent moves and how it has better positioned the Tide. We'll get the whole story from Nick. Nick, thanks for joining us. Always great to see you. Most people do think highly of Greg Byrne, the athletic director at Alabama, but in your piece, his skill and intelligence seem to come through even more. Tell us the story and what it's all about.
Yeah, well, great to be with you, Paul. It's what-if language, really, is what it is. Back in 2019, Alabama started having discussions about how it probably makes sense to prepare if there were going to be changes in the SEC or just college football with scheduling, to be flexible for that. So there was language included in contracts that basically said, hey, if conferences stipulate that we have to have more conference games, then we can look at talking or having these conversations, these good faith clauses, basically. And these aren't the only ones that exist in college football. Alabama's not the first, probably not going to be the last, but just because they need to have the ability to possibly shift games around if there are more conference games added. So Alabama did that in 2019. Every Power 5 contract, non-conference since then, has that language.
So, but one thing about Alabama, even before we get to the next question, is, you know, they were doing so many of these early games, kickoff classic type of things, Atlanta Classic, Dallas, whatever the names are. They have shifted away from that. So I know that's a philosophy that many big-time programs are using, thus the Alabama-Texas series, right?
Correct. And those contracts, the last one that was signed for those neutral site home openers was in 2017. And so that was a little bit before they started scheduling these home-and-home series to add some new excitement, kind of a new development. And like you said, the Texas game. Now, that Texas game, that contract did not have that language. That was a 2018 contract. And the first contract Alabama related that had anything to that was Notre Dame, signed around the same time in May 2018, but that seemed more like it was on Notre Dame's end. It was in the result of cancellation, whereas now Alabama has in those contracts that they could have conversations about rescheduling, not necessarily cancellation, if it's forced to by the conferences.
So essentially, when we get to Texas and Oklahoma, or who knows who else, as you know, what happens to some of the games, or does anything happen?
Well, it's a puzzle piece that I'm glad I don't have to put together, because frankly, it is going to be a little bit tricky because Alabama is scheduled two non-conference Power 5 opponents from 2025 through 2034. And so if you add another conference game, if that's what the SEC decides, you're going to have 11 Power 5 opponents, and that is a ridiculous schedule. It'd be a lot of fun, but probably not going to help you a lot if other teams aren't doing the same thing in terms of trying to, you know, position yourself for a playoff spot. And so it's something where you're going to have to look around at moving games. I mean, we're talking 2035, you know, 2034, years down the road. And so there is some of that flexibility there, which Alabama needs to have. Tricky puzzle to put together, but at least Alabama can contractually move things around.
And what's really even trickier, Nick, as you know, nobody knows what the CFP is going to look like. Nobody really has any idea what college football is going to look like a couple of years down the road. So that is a very difficult thing. Let me get to the field. We've had a couple of days of practice around the SEC, and in particular at Alabama. It's always early, but it's never too early to try to figure out what's happening. What are you learning from, not that you're watching the practice, but from hearing about it and talking to coaches and people that matter?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, well, Paul, you know well that as far as what you're seeing is quite restricted in Tuscaloosa. You know, some programs do have more that they get to see. We do not have practice access, so we don't get to see those things. So a lot of it's putting things together, reading the tea leaves. But, I mean, there's some positions that have some really good competition right now. I mean, you're talking like cornerback, offensive line. I mean, those are positions that are going to determine this season in a lot of ways. And Alabama's got some guys, especially at cornerback. There aren't a lot of answers right now in terms of what we know, but they have good people in the race. I mean, you have a guy like Eli Ricks you bring in from LSU as a transfer who he's competing. You have Kool-Aid McKinstry, a former five-star guy who got a lot of time at the end of last year. He's going to be a sophomore. We're going to hear from him actually tomorrow for the first time since he got to Tuscaloosa. And so, those positions, Nick Saban's talked about how critical they're going to be for this season. And in a day when Alabama comes out as the number one spot for the coaches poll, it's one of those things where, I mean, you're looking at what's going to stand in the way of them ending up in that spot at the end of the year. And offensive line, corner, two positions, we're seeing some battles in the fall camp period.
Nick Kelly with us with Tuscaloosa News. We heard from the coordinators yesterday, which doesn't happen very often. We don't hear from assistant coaches at all once the season gets going. What did you learn from O'Brien and Golding?
Well, from Pete Golding, I mean, he seems to really like this defense. You know, of course, there's not a lot of comparisons that we hear from Nick Saban's program, but Pete Golding talked about how they have at every level of the defense leaders and experienced guys. And guys who know what to do. And, of course, that's not even including a Will Anderson. I mean, of course, he's a leader and experience, but he's not even a senior. I mean, they have seniors at every level of this defense, even with, this being a program that tends to have a lot of guys leave to the NFL draft. And so they've got seniors. They've got experience. They've got talent like Will Anderson. I mean, the edge rushers, we could very well see – I mean, edge rushers is probably their strongest position on the defense. We could very well see three of them on the field at once. I mean, they had a heyday in the 8A game. And Chris Braswell, Dallas Turner, Will Anderson, you could see Will Anderson kind of tease a little bit today before practice, just in terms of we might be seeing the best guys on the field. And that's what Pete Golding talked about, too, just the importance of, you know, getting guys who are good football players on the field.
You mentioned something a minute ago, and I'm sure if you're watching at home, if you're driving or listening, you really don't care whether Nick Kelly and any of his colleagues go to practice. But you go back many, many years when I did what you're doing, you didn't even think twice about it. You roamed around practice, and I can't tell you we learned very much. But it was a good chance to schmooze with coaches and various people. What have you learned being in other places? And I realize you're still pretty young about restrictions on practices. I know Alabama's not the only one, but how does it differ from what you know?
I mean, it kind of varies depending on the location, the program. Of course, NFL football training camp's pretty wide open. And so it just depends on the spot, what the coach wants to do. I mean, even last year, we did have some practice access to begin the year. And so it just depends on kind of what certain coaches are feeling and what they want to do with their program. And this is one that they keep things on a pretty kind of lockdown level.
Do you have any idea what, because I remember Saban, when he first got there, you know, was very threatening with the media about, you know, if you report something that I don't want you to, you might as well never come back. Is that part of it, or is it just the new normal in college sports?
Well, when someone like Nick Saban does it and has success, other programs are looking at what an Alabama does, what a Georgia does. I mean, programs that have success are programs that you try to emulate in a lot of ways if you're a coach trying to get a program into that upper echelon of college football. And so it makes sense that you kind of see that trend happening elsewhere. But obviously for what I do in my job, it's frustrating because, I mean, I love watching practice. I just love seeing how guys look, how guys mesh together. And just football practice is one thing that I really just enjoy being at. So for me, as someone who loves the sport, it's a bummer. But that's kind of, I think, why a lot of programs have trended in that direction.
And Nick, I hate to keep going back, but I just want to, over many, many years, there was a time that you roamed around the athletic department, the football offices. You wanted to go zip into a coach's office. You could. I was in Tuscaloosa not that long ago. And I wasn't doing what you're doing, but I noticed there were a lot of restrictions. So if you wanted, could you just walk into a coach's office, or is that forbidden?
That's a tricky thing. That's not quite the same as it was back in the day. Cecil Hurd, the late great Cecil Hurd, has told me stories like you're saying about just easy access and just being able to walk up to guys and talk. And it's just it's a very different world covering college football now than it was back in the day.
Well, that's why this show is here, so we can talk to experts like you and take us behind the scenes and what we know and don't know. But I would assume, though, that you still, as a reporter for the hometown newspaper, there are many other ways to get a story other than just knocking on somebody's door. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the biggest things is you kind of have to be creative in this job and just try to talk to people that have connections and have different kinds of connections with the program. And, you know, it's just one of those things where there's a lot of outlets covering this team and a lot of different other places. But the reality is that, you know, basically my goal every day is how can I tell the most interesting story and who are the interesting people I can talk to? Sometimes that's people around the program. Sometimes that's people way outside the program. But that's kind of the fun about it. It is a challenge, but it's a fun challenge every day.
And the one thing that you'll never get, Nick, is sympathy from the paying public about whether you get access or not. I have learned that over the years, that the one thing that turns off the public more than, well, not almost more than anything else, but equal to anything else is media people crying about, not, and I don't mean you're crying, you're being very objective about it, but some have done that, though.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, I mean, you can be frustrated about it, you can complain about it, but, you know, what can you do? That's what I try to focus on, because if you're only focusing on the things you can't do or the things that you can't get access to, you're just going to get frustrated. So it really comes down to me is who can you talk to, what can you do, and that tends to put me in a better headspace.
I would say that if you go to the coach's office or anybody at Alabama and they say somebody's complaining, the response would be, have them cover another program and see what they think, if they want more access. Hey, Nick, it's always great to see you. We really appreciate you you being here, and also appreciate you mentioning Cecil Hurd, who is our all-time favorite guest.
I miss him every day, and Paul, thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Thank you, Nick. One of the absolute great young reporters on the scene today covering the University of Alabama. Some backstory on some of the challenges of covering the greatest of all time. We will take a break. Back with more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Can we just go ahead and invite the guy cutting the grass outside the door in the studio here so we can maybe make it a little bit louder? Randy, or is he edging or blowing? Do you know?
Should I invite him in?
Yeah, just tell him to come on in and, if he wants to cut the grass. Is he blowing or edging?
He's blowing.
He's blowing, okay.
He just finished mowing.
And by the way, good for him. I just want to make sure he's comfortable. We can give him a soft drink here. Let's check in with William in Maryville. How are you, William?
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Very well.
Three quick points. I heard Legends call earlier, and that was even off the wall for Legend. He needs to get some new meds. That was as inappropriate of a call as I've ever heard, but be that as it may, the gentleman last week who was giving the analysis of the announcers, did you say he had Asperger's?
Yes, that is correct.
I found that to be fascinating because, there are a lot of famous, very successful people, Bill Gates, Elon Musk, with Asperger's, and it's, one of the symptoms or the that's the right word is the ability to analyze without emotion. And I found his analysis to be very direct, logical, and unemotional. I would add kind of on a segue to what you said is that, not only have a lot of these guys lost the ability to speak, and in part because they don't read, it's probably because they don't write also. I quit practicing law because nobody wanted to pay for a well-written letter, and very few people now can speak coherently because they can't write coherently.
Yeah, and, that's a good question. I always joke about being a writer, and even though I don't practice my craft these days, but it is an incredibly valuable part of my life, which helps me, not to the degree that I really want to hear myself talk, but it does feel, I am a little more comfortable than maybe if I hadn't done that. And I think as you listen to today's broadcasters, and there's some fantastic ones, but there's also some very average and almost incoherent ones as well.
And don't you think social media, the fact that people are tweeting or texting, sure, or emailing. I mean, one thing that's amazed me, even in the practice of law, which used to be the profession of writers, instead of a formal letter, people fire off these poorly constructed emails. And I think that the fact that we've lost the ability, we send a text that isn't grammatically correct.
I know. I don't even, when I send a text, I don't even look at it. I just send it. And then you look at it again later, you go, I left out the most important word, but you figure it's only a text.
And from experience, you're very brief in text, but changing, getting, yeah. I thought that the young man last week was just incredible in his ability to analyze, these announcers. But let me raise a question about what happened in Oklahoma with,
sure,
with this Coach Gundy resigning. As I understand it, he read something that a player had written on an iPad.
He was talking to his team. Apparently one of his players was looking at his iPad, and a racial pejorative was on the iPad. I'm guessing here it was from some lyrics. I'm just guessing. or maybe it wasn't. Is that what you guys told me earlier that you thought it was? Anyway, yeah, that somebody reported. The reporting on it has been embarrassingly bad, but that's understandable. And he read it out to the team, and apparently, according to Venables, he did it multiple times. Now, that is where – that's all we know about it as we speak.
Well, that – yeah, okay, so let's say that's what happened. How is that a fireable or resignable offense, Paul? I mean, if he was reading it out to make a point
– William, there's no precedent here, but I will tell you the New York Times fired a prominent individual about a year and a half ago because – he was relating a story where that word was part of the story that he was relating. It wasn't. It's a very unknown part of our society today, and I understand the hurtful and shameful side. I think anyone who doesn't is completely ignorant of the times that we live in. But it's also. I think the feeling was that had he done it once, I can't say he would have survived. But I thought it was very important to point out, or it is important to point out, that Venables made it clear in his second statement that he used the word multiple times.
Well, I guess the context, though, was the context, because I actually heard this at a, I don't know, some sort of practice report that certain words between the players weren't allowed
right.
during practice because, players do refer to themselves in that,
sure,
but using
William,
that
you,
word.
I'll give you my opinion on it, and then here's what I think this is about. Just a thought. Brent Venables was on whose staff 2 years ago when a similar situation came up? He was on Dabo Swinney's staff when I think it was Danny Perriman did something similar or simply just used the word. And I really don't remember the context. Dabo did not do anything. He stood by his man. And I'm just guessing that Brent Venables has decided I'm charting a different course. I'm no longer in Kansas any longer. I'm in Norman, Oklahoma. Squirrel is up next. Good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call. An interesting show today, and I'm not going to touch that topic right there. But you did touch on something I was going to ask you about. You mentioned how you fire off texts and misspell words and things of that nature without checking sometimes. Have you ever sent a text and just immediately when you sent it, you said, oh, my God, I should not have sent that?
Yes.
And like you broke out in a cold sweat, kind of? That happened.
Well, I sent a text to somebody about 2 months ago, and it wasn't really a bad thing. I sent it to the wrong person. And why did I send it to the wrong person, Squirrel? Because nine years ago when I last communicated with this guy, I inadvertently put his name in next to somebody else, and they both had the same first name.
That kind of happened to me this morning. I sent a bird emoji, not the flying bird, the finger bird, to one of your buddies. Matter of fact, as soon as I did, I didn't mean to. I mean, it was a total mistake.
Can
I meant
you tell
to send
me where
it to
that him. Is on the phone so I can start using it?
It's in there. There's a bird. It's by the waving hand and by the thumbs up, But
that's funny.
And guess who I sent it to? Guess who I sent it to? Your buddy, Bo Bounds.
Oh, well, then in my mind, that would be perfectly acceptable.
It was kind of appropriate, but it wasn't meant for him, but it was appropriate.
That's funny.
But again, both got a decent show, but I've never called into him. We had to have a little text relationship occasionally, but I didn't mean to take it to that level.
That is really funny.
And so I feel like I kind of owe him an apology. But and speaking of birds that don't fly, I heard Legends call just a little while ago. He always includes me in the list of people that knows nothing about football. Are you buddies with Phil Sims? Or can you get him on the show?
Phil Sims, the commentator?
Remember Phil Sims for the quarterback for the Giants?
I have never met Phil Sims.
Okay, you know so many people.
And I must honestly tell you, Squirrel, I've really never had any desire to meet him.
Well, I would just like to get him on there because when he was a senior at college at Moorhead, I was involved in a play my freshman year when I was at East Tennessee State that he would remember.
Okay.
And if I could get him on the show, I could bring it up.
I will ask him because
maybe that, yeah,
Moorhead,
maybe legend of
Moorhead
Jock
has
Smith
given
or,
me, has given material to more comedians than any other school in the union. We'll take a short break. We are back. Oh, by the way, Handsome Joe will be the next caller in case you wanted to set your DVR.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. Final few minutes on a Monday afternoon, and Handsome Joe is up next.
Howdy, Paul. And see, I didn't say Roll Tide Roll.
You know, Joe, I have to tell you, I'm a little disappointed with your new approach. I always got to. Didn't you like the Roll Tide Roll?
I did.
Randy and I both
Roll
liked
Tide
it.
Roll, Paul Feinbaum.
I feel the world is back on its axis again.
Yes.
It is the you know, I just had a thunderstorm come up, thundered, and then didn't rain a drop.
Thunder only happens when it rains.
That's right.
Name the person that wrote that song.
Little
Stevie.
Yeah. That was Mark Kubiak.
Try Stevie Nicks.
Kubiak.
Mark Kubiak.
Well, that Mark.
I don't think Mark wrote that song. Mark's had a couple number one hits.
But I do want to start off with congratulating. I want to say a big shout-out to Kevin Delano, Keelan, and Piper Harvick on that big win Kevin Harvick got yesterday.
Oh, Kevin Harvick, he had not won in about a year and a half, had he?
That's right, 65 races since he won. And, hey, he's 46-year-old, Paul. So, you know, he's still younger than I am. But, hey, he's one of the last breed of the old school racers because he's young. Kids coming in. I mean, they're tearing it up.
You know, Handsome Joe, I really, you know, I covered NASCAR early in my career. I miss those guys. I mean, there were some great feuds back then.
They were. They used to get out of the car after the race. I mean, that's what everybody waited for after the race. They'd hit each other with helmets, you know, throw haymakers.
Were you old enough to remember the Allison boys and Cale Yarborough?
You better believe I do. Paul,
that's one of the greatest moments. That one moment, I think it was at Daytona, transformed racing on television.
By golly, they were slugging it out, Paul.
I'll tell you one thing. The boy from Hueytown won that battle.
That's right. Yep, they did.
He shoved old Cale Yarborough into his gas tank.
Hey, that's right. Hey, that's when Paul, they used to sit in the race car smoking a cigarette before they got the race started. I mean, these boys, they didn't play.
Hey, I'll tell you this story. That was race car drivers, the only thing they didn't do probably was drink, but I once played a pro-am round with a very famous professional golfer, and he told me that they used to have flasks in their golf club, and they were coming down the stretch 17, 16, 17, 18. They'd have a snort or two just to calm down.
Hey, you probably have to just to listen to some of these callers, including me sometimes.
And in true candor, Randy has filled my glass a couple of times tonight.
That's right.
Hey, Randy's a good guy. Randy's a good guy, Paul. And y'all were talking about these sending text messages, Paul. You know, there's sometimes I'm just, you know, just get on my phone, I'll just hit a bunch of letters and just send it and just see what they come back.
I feel the same way. And you got to be careful, though. I've sent some pretty stupid text messages.
Hey, and when you're dating two girls at once, you better remember their names, right?
This happened to me not long ago. I was sending a text to Jimbo Fisher, and I accidentally sent it to Saban.
I said to Jimbo,
can you believe what that guy said about you? I mean, anyway, that's an old story.
By the way, if you knew
better, you know Nick Saban doesn't waste time with texts.
No, he don't. He probably don't even talk on the phone unless it's just an emergency. He's too busy.
Hey, let me confirm, Joe, that is not true. I've been at the other end of a rather irate Nick Saban before.
Well, you know, he don't do social media.
He doesn't tweet.
I think
he tweets under the Bama Bird moniker, don't you?
He probably does. I hope Squirrel, that he may have sent that bird to Nick Saban. But yeah. I mean, but Squirrel mentioned Phil Sims. I ain't heard about Phil Sims in a long time. I do think he does, is on ESPN some.
No, Phil Sims is on. He's on CBS. Hey, Joe, thanks for the call. Let me get one more in here before we go because it is closing time, and Larry from Shelby is up next.
Yeah. Oh, fine, Bob. What's up, man? How you doing,
Larry? I am doing great. I appreciate you joining us here for the final round of the night.
Yeah, baby, check it out. That guy calls you pissed me off really bad, so you run your mouth. I'll tell you one thing, dude. He may run his mouth, but he gets paid a big bucks to run it. And I think that dude, the only thing he is running his mouth is his ass kicked because that's what I do for him. Because you are a man. You run your mouth, Paul. You run it good.
Larry, that means a great deal. I will sleep soundly tonight knowing I got your blessings. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.